Where did it go? My friend was flying a radio-controlled airplane, and he had just made a control adjustment on the plane, and it didn't respond. And he was looking for the plane and couldn't find it. And he said, "Where did it go?" And what happened was the plane was flying in that direction, and it flew beyond the control of his little thing in his hand, the transmitter. And it just kept flying and flying and flying. And they looked for it in a cornfield, he said, until they were almost completely lost, almost got lost in the cornfield. And they gave it up, and harvesting that corn one year, they crunched up an airplane. I remember about 4 years of my life feeling like that airplane. Feeling like I've lost control, I've lost communication with the control tower. And my life during that time was basically like throwing Jell-O against the wall to see if anything would stick. Have you ever been there? And you're wondering, God, are you still there? Are you giving directions anymore? And maybe you've been there, and maybe you've been in a situation and you said, "Oh, man, it can't get any worse than this." And then it does. And then it gets worse. And you layer confusion on top of the pain and exhaustion. Been there? Or maybe for you, it was a lack of power. And a minor challenge sets you on your backside. And a sin that you had conquered years before rears its ugly head and defeats you again and again. Been there? What do you do? How do you get going again? How do you keep going in that situation? Remember the promise of Jesus. Remember the promise of Jesus. The first point, Matthew 28:18. Jesus came to his disciples. This is just before he ascended. He said this, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth." Now that right there should give us all peace. All authority. All authority. There is no other authority that he hasn't received. Jesus has been given all authority. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you." How can we do that? That's a pretty tall order. How can we do that? "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's how we can do that. The promise of Jesus, Jesus is always with his followers. Jesus is always with them. How? Through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. And you may say, "But what about those times that we were talking about earlier? What about all those times when it felt like God was far away?" Those are Where's Waldo days. Are you familiar with Where's Waldo? Next slide. Next slide. I put them in the wrong order. That was not Clayton's fault. So where's Waldo? Do you see him? All right. Is he there? Right. He's there somewhere. And that's what's true about God. Is God with you? Yes. But you can't find him, can you, until Clayton clicks on it. Next slide. And he is right there. Now go back one. Now see, do you see him? Barely see him up there in the corner. There are going to be Where's Waldo days. The first book of the Bible that was written down was not Genesis. It was actually the book of Job. a book where this guy loses everything. God wanted to start out at the very beginning and say, there's going to be days like that. They're going to be confusing and frustrating. And it's going to be like, God, I know in my head that you're here, but I can't find you. Why would God do that? God does that because he wants to help grow your faith. If you could see everything, you would need no faith. If you could see all that's going on, you would need no faith. If you could see what's going to happen in 5 years and 10 years and 20 years, you would need no faith. But God said, I'm going to play hide and seek with you. And you believe me and you trust me and your faith will grow. And the more your faith grows, the more amazing things I can do through your life. And so there are Where's Waldo days. And then if you back up one slide, there are also Sistine Chapel days. And if you look at that's the creation of Adam, all Adam has to do is like raise his finger like, and he's connected to God, right? And there are days like that that God is so close that all you have to do is go, I had 2 days like that about a month ago. It was just amazing. I was at a prayer summit with people that Sandy works with, and it's just like, oh, wonderful. And then there's Where's Waldo's days. And so we have to trust in the presence of God. That's why God gave us his Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is always with his followers, even when it doesn't feel like it. There will be lots of days that it doesn't feel like God is with you. But don't trust your feelings. Remember that verse that says, always obey your feelings. You know that verse? You know why you don't know that verse? It's not there. There is no such verse. Don't trust your feelings. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. Jesus uses this passage here in John, advocate. Advocate, what does that mean? The original word in the original language was parakletos. So I just wanted to clear that up for you. Para is like parallel. It means alongside. And the other word means called to be called. So the word called and be alongside. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, is someone who's called to be alongside. Always with us. Called to be alongside of us. He's our advocate. He's always with us. And as you look at different translations, they try to translate that meaning. Some places it's called comforter. But when I read comforter, I think of this big, thick blanket that you put on in the wintertime. And the Holy Spirit is more than that. He's always with us. So what do? We live in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. Acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is walking with us through everything that we're going through. But notice what he says. We need to walk in truth. We need to walk in truth. Follow the Spirit's lead. You can also walk in the opposite direction. You don't have to walk in the truth, but he said walk in the truth. One reason why people don't sense God's direction in their life is because they've already rejected it. So many people treat following God like a multiple choice thing. No, swipe left, swipe left, swipe left. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to do that. Oh, maybe I'll do that. Swipe right on that. Swipe left. Swipe left. And it's like, I can choose to do whatever I want. God, show me your will and maybe I'll do it. There's not a really good chance you'll hear from God in that moment. But if you really want to hear from God, then you pray this prayer. Dear God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? I've already said, God, no matter what you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. And then you'll hear from God. Walk in truth. Walk in obedience. Then in John 14, 26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. What do? We walk in confidence. You know what you need to know. That's confidence. Okay, if you had, today you had a test in math, right? How did you walk into the classroom when you had a test in math? Right? Oh, man. Oh. But what if you already had all the answers? And they were written down right here in the palm of your hand. Confession time, how many of you have done that? No, just kidding. But how would you walk into that class? Uh-oh, I got two teachers up here. How would you walk into that class if you had all the answers? You would walk in there, piece of cake, it's going to be good. That's what we have in the Holy Spirit. He will remind you of everything you need to know. If you're close to my age, you understand that, well, Mark Twain said, you don't remember half the things. It gets to the point where I can't remember near half the things I forget. Yes. I don't have to worry about that because the Holy Spirit is going to remind you. He's going to teach you what you need to know in the moment. You can walk with confidence because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the information that you need in the moment. John 16, verses 5 through 8. But now I'm going away to be with the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking me where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Share the good news with impact. What if you could get inside people's hearts? Wouldn't that be cool? Guess what? You can't. But you know what? God's Holy Spirit can. And as you share the good news, the Holy Spirit does what you cannot do. He gets inside people's heart and he convicts them of sin. God convicts and lives are impacted. That's why walking in the truth is so important, because when you do that, you are working in concert with God Almighty. You can share the good news, and in a moment, God will share something with you. I have a friend who was doing marriage counseling, and the husband came in, and you know, he's in tears. Oh, my wife, and she's doing this, and she's doing this, and this, and this, and wine, you know, this kind of thing, right? Complaining about his wife. And the pastor, in that moment, heard from God, and he said to the man, you're having an affair. And the guy was stunned. He goes, yes, I am. How did he know that? God revealed it to him in that moment. And God used that pastor to convict that man of the sin that he was involved in. God speaks, and we have to be available for what happens. One day, I was at our regional office in Elkhart, meeting with some of the staff there, and I walked out of the door, and as I walked out of the door, a lady pulled into the first parking spot. And I thought she was going to go in there, and she stopped me. She says, "Can you help me?" Oh, I thought maybe she needed directions. She said, "No," and she just started pouring out her life to me. And she said, "These are all the things that are going on." And it's like, okay. I was like, why did you pull in? She said, "I was driving by, and God said, pull into that place right now." She said, so she just pulled in as I was coming out. And here's the thing. A friend of mine pastors a church right across the street from there. And so I said, "Hey, listen, she lived in that area. Let's go over there." And so we went across the street. He wasn't there, but there were staff there. We prayed for her. They got her name and phone number, and they said, "Hey, we've got a prayer thing happening tonight. Come back tonight." And how did that happen? God orchestrated. As I was walking out that door, that lady pulled in. Totally God arranged kind of thing. You never know how God is going to use you. All the little, we call them insignificant things that happen throughout the day. They're not. We think they're random. They're not. Some people call them coincidences. They're not. It's the direction of God. All the little tiny things in life that we think are little tiny things are directed by God. And so we can share the good news with impact because God takes what we say and He applies it to the heart. And He's already at work in them. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We are to live with uncontrollable power. We're to live with uncontrollable power. You can't keep that power in you. When you are filled with that kind of power, it's like 600 pounds of power in a 200-pound body. It's going to come out. It's going to squirt out through every pore of your being. You can't keep it in. And not only in you, you can't keep it geographically in place because Jesus said it's going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That power, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, it changes you, yes. But that's not why you're changed. You're changed so that change will happen to those around you. Look at where the good news had an impact in the early church. Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Italy, Cyprus, Ethiopia, and Syria. The early church, I don't know if you know that, that was before they had, what do you call them? Airplanes. It spread like crazy. You've got that power. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're an obedient follower of Jesus, you have that power. And then when you have that power, what do? You wait for fruit. Can you imagine what it was like to be a disciple of Jesus? They thought Jesus was going to be the Messiah. They thought He was going to be the king. They thought He was going to take over the country and He was going to be a ruler. And then, just like that, He was dead. And all their hopes were dashed and crushed. And then, 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And they were so excited. He is going to do that. He is going to do that. Right? Let's go tell everybody that He's alive. Let's go. Let's go now. Everybody, let's go. But what does Jesus say to them in Acts 1, verse 4? On one occasion, while He was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait." What? Wait is a four-letter word. But God's timing is perfect. Wait, but wait for the gift my Father promised you when you heard about Him. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit first, so wait. You can't do this with your own strength. You can't do this in your own strategy. And so they waited and they prayed for 1 day, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days. Going, okay, we're waiting. What are we doing? We're waiting and we're praying. Okay, what are we going to do today? Wait and pray. What are we going to do tomorrow? We're going to pray and then wait for 10 days. And then what happened? Peter, after the Holy Spirit showed up like tongues of fire, and they were speaking in tongues, and everybody heard the good news in their language, Peter got up and started speaking. This is part of what he said. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What was that? What was it? That was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was released on them, and they were feeling conviction for what they had done. He was working on them. So Peter replied, each of you should repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. How did Peter prepare for that message that day, that sermon that he preached? How did he prepare for that? Waiting and praying. And the Spirit reminded him of things that he had read before. The Spirit reminded him of things that Jesus had said before. And he just shared that. It prepared him for that. God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father revealed himself as a Father. God the Son came to earth. And God the Holy Spirit is the God that is with us to go with us so that we can walk in truth and confidence, so we can share the good news with impact, and so we can live with uncontainable power. 2 years ago, in a Muslim country, an American woman was negotiating with a landlady for a new apartment, and she was treated very badly by this landlord. Several weeks ago, that lady that was treated badly was heading back to the U.S. and was wrapping up her time in that Muslim country, and she decided to go downtown to a church service. And at that church service, she saw a lady with a veil that looked familiar, and at the end of the service, they began talking, and she found out it was that landlady that had mistreated her. And as they were talking, she said about 2 years previously, she'd come to know Jesus. Apparently, it was right after she had that interaction with her. She came to know Jesus. And here, I love what this lady said. She told her that there are millions of us who have done the same, and she talks with many of them. There are millions of people in that Muslim country that have given their lives to Jesus, and she talks with them. God is at work in the places where you would never imagine. Now, I have an idea why that's happening. Because there are a group of people that are praying for that country. And because they pray and wait, God works. And God wants to do the same thing. I don't know if you know this. He wants to do the same thing in Warsaw, Indiana. But it takes people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, people that wait, people that pray, and people that live surrendered lives to do that. God is at work, and God wants to be at work in your life as well. Would you stand with me? If you want God to work in your life, you don't have to convince Him to want to work in your life. He already wants to. He's waiting on you. And He needs you to surrender. If God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Maybe this morning you need to say to God, I'm going to get out of the pilot seat. I want you to pilot my life. And if so, tell Him that right now. Maybe there's an area of your life that you need to surrender. Turn it over to Him. Let's pray together. Father, I don't know everything, but what I do know is that Your plan for our lives are bigger than our plans for our lives. That Your plan for our lives are beyond our imagination. What You want to do through our lives is more than we can fathom. And so, Father, we surrender to You. We take our agendas and we wad them up and we lay them at Your feet. And we say, we want Your will for our lives because You know best. And we love You and we trust You. Even when we can't find You, even when we can't see You, we trust You. Thank You, Father, for what You're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.